It's overtime on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us on the app. We've got four games to go in Trench'em and Bench'em. We kick it off with you, Justin. You've got what some are calling the game of the year, but I think that really depends on if Jordan Love plays Detroit, Green Bay.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things. One, Detroit just showed last week with a 52-14 win and only 85 yards out of Jared Goff. And we've known this. They can beat you on every side of the ball. Special teams, defense, offense, running the ball, passing the ball. Ben Johnson has got them cooking. They are a complete team. Their biggest strength, obviously, is the running game with Gibbs and Mostert. It's because of that offensive line. They're getting an average of 3.3 yards before anyone is touching them when they get the ball. Coincidentally, Green Bay is number one in the NFL on defense in the least amount of yards before contact. They're averaging about a yard before they're making contact with the running back. The problem there is they're also one of the worst teams in the NFL rushing defense after contact. So there's some things happening here on the running, with the running game, at least. I'm going to lean towards Detroit's offensive line holding their average, as you know, opposed to the Green Bay Packers defense winning. So I think Detroit's O-line overtakes Green Bay's. And let's get into our starters. On the Detroit side of the ball, Jared Goff, Green Bay is a better rushing defense than most that they face. So there's a chance he's got to throw a little bit more. But even if he doesn't, he's just putting up crazy efficient numbers. So Goff is in there. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery both trench them. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, and then stay away from the Detroit defense. The concern, even if Jordan Love plays, he is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL against man coverage. He might even be the worst, if not the second worst. And Detroit runs more man coverage than any team in the NFL. So that could be a difficult thing for Jordan Love. I don't expect huge numbers from him, even if they do play. Their best hope is that Jared Goff is terrible in outdoor games. I mean, absolutely horrible. So you got to hope that he has one of those. But that kind of seems like one of those years where numbers don't matter. Detroit's just kind of destined to go on a run here. On the Green Bay side of the ball, I will trench Josh Jacobs, of course. I will get Reed in there. I'll flip a coin, take a flyer on Watson or Wicks. And Romeo Dubs is absolutely in your lineup as well. He is tearing up the targets, almost making Reed irrelevant here the last couple of weeks. And then make sure you also get Tucker Kraft. Sneaky, nice little quiet tight end play that is capable of putting up 20 points. In any
he's my WR1.
Tucker Kraft, baby.
He's my WR1.
Stay away from both defenses. Keep an eye on the weather. It's outdoor game again in Green Bay. If that weather goes south, it should impact some of these recommendations we're making.
Yeah, there is rain in the forecast. It's definite rain is what they said for this one. Detroit favored by 2.5 points. I get the Rams taking on Seattle. No need to overthink this. Stafford is a kingmaker when it comes to wide receivers. You're starting Stafford, you're starting Kupp, you're starting Nacua. It's just like the band got back together with those two guys on the field. Kyren Williams is another one. I mean, this is a pretty good football team, and I just don't think McVay gets enough credit for when those guys are out, when he scotch tapes some of these teams or some of this stuff together. I mean, they're 3-4, but they didn't have a team for a little while other than Stafford. So, those four are locks in your lineup for sure. Over to Seattle. I mean, I think this is going to be a shootout. I talked about it earlier. I like Geno Smith this week, even though the Seahawks are passing so much. You still got to figure out how to get Kenneth Walker in. In a lot of cases, he's an RB2, and maybe in some cases, other than Jack, you've got a better you've got Bijan, but otherwise he's RB1 on a lot of my squads. Metcalf should be back this week. If so, of course he's going in there. And then we've got JSN and Tyler Lockett, and I don't know exactly what to tell you to do there. JSN just hasn't been much of an outside threat. But he's probably a flex play this week, and I think I'm going to leave Lockett on the bench. As far as tight ends go, Noah Fant, no thanks. Rams favored by 1.5 points. Rain is likely in Seattle. Jack, you get Sunday Night Football. The Colts taking on the purple. This game just got flexed to Sunday night.
Yeah, primetime action, baby. All right, well, let's start in Indy. And with the biggest insult of projections of the week, Joe Flacco only projected to get 13 points. He started against Pittsburgh. 168 yards, two touchdowns, 14 points. Do we really think the Vikings defense is as good as the Pittsburgh Steelers defense? I don't think so. Against Jacksonville, much more akin to Minnesota Viking defense, 359 yards, three touchdowns, 31 fantasy points. At Tennessee, he did 189 and two touchdowns for 13 points. But again, Tennessee's defense been really good against wide receivers. Now he's got Minnesota. I think Joe Flacco puts up 25 points pretty easily. So he is 100% in every trench that I can get the guy in, including DFS play. Jonathan Taylor is back. Start him like an RB1. Treat him like an RB1 till he proves he's not. With Flacco under center, Pittman, Downs, both in on my team, these guys are first overall draft picks. We treat them like gods. On your team, they're probably WR2s, but I think they're going to perform like WR1s. And I think Alec Pierce might be the best sexy flexy in the entire freaking league because he's either going to get you 2 points or 32 points. And that's what you need out of a sexy flexy. Tight ends, not going to go with any tight ends on the Colts side of the ball. On to the Vikings side of the ball. All right. I'm still a believer. My son is still a believer. I think the Vikings have still got what it takes. Jefferson, best receiver in the league, hands down, WR1. Darnold, I've got Darnold in the trenches. Safe start this week. I think Darnold and Flacco both score more than Kyler Murray or Caleb Williams. Maybe more than both those guys combined. Aaron Jones is an RB1. He hasn't been getting a ton of volume, but he's an RB1 this week for sure. TJ Hockenson is back. He looks healthy. It's a gamble to start someone when they're first out, first week back, but I think he could have started last week. So I like TJ Hockenson in at tight end mandatory, or again, in my case, I'd have him in as a flex and slash WR1 if I could. Addison and Naylor, sexy flexies. Addison a little higher than Naylor, but they're both in the sexy flexy range. With Hockenson back, look for their volume share to get chipped into greatly. So look for that to happen. You know, I like the Vikings to win the game here, John, but you never count against Joe Flacco. I mean, the guy is just a professional. He knows how to win a football game.
For sure. Minnesota favored by 5.5 points, which brings us to Monday Night Football, Lyle. Tampa Bay taking on the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, this one could have been even more hyped up if Tampa Bay would be bringing their full complement of receivers down to Kansas City. But we'll still take this. This has got some good fantasy implications. Yeah, Baker Mayfield, who's quietly been, quarterback 2, I think, in our PPR format. He's scoring he's gotten 18 or more fantasy points in 7 of the 8 games. I think that streak continues. I think Baker's a top 12 guy. Get him in your trenches. I know the receivers are gone, but they threw the ball to the backs a lot last week. Rashad White and Bucky Irving both got huge target volumes in the passing game. I think that makes them both relevant. I think White is a safe RB2 in PPR formats, especially a PPR format. And then Bucky Irving, he's had 10 or more fantasy points in 5 of the last 6 games. So they clearly are getting both these guys enough volume to be fantasy relevant. I think you got to suit them both up this week. The only other for sure starter I have is Kate Otten. Kate Otten and tight end mandatory. You should be playing this guy. And again, maybe even just regular leagues. Otten's getting enough volume that you should be playing him. And then as for the other receivers, there's Sterling Shepard out there. There's Jalen McMillan. I like McMillan probably better than any of these guys. Maybe Trey Palmer also could be an option, but I think McMillan of the three would be the guy I play. But I think you can find better options this week. As for Kansas City, I think this is the week Patrick Mahomes finally gets 20 fantasy points. Isn't that sad? It's a low bar to hit, but I think Mahomes finally does it against this really bad Tampa Bay secondary. Kareem Hunt is questionable with a quad injury, but he's been getting 20-plus touches every week. If he suits up, he's going to do that again. That makes him an RB1. Travis Kelce's a plug-and-play start. You're suiting him up. And then I know DeAndre Hopkins is just kind of getting used to this offense, but I think I'm keeping him on the bench for now. And I'd play Xavier Worthy as a wide receiver 3, especially in standard scoring. I think he's a lock to get a touchdown this week. And he's not as valuable in PPR, but I think you'd play him in standard leagues for sure. Definitely play the Kansas City defense as well.
Chance of rain in the forecast. Kansas City favored by 8.5 points. And that is it for overtime on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We thank you for joining us on that free 94.1 The Loon app or online at 941theloon.com. We will see you next week.